Am I supposed to see you right now, by the way?
You don't have to. I don't look that good.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the Token CEO podcast. It's day 45 in quarantine. It's Thursday, April 30th. Huge thanks to Wallow267 for coming on yesterday. Hopefully everyone who listened to that liked it. Go check out the Nardini Running Club merch. We've got some stuff left. There's also a ton of other great stuff. If you need a buff, if you need scarves, if you need t-shirts, you name it, you can go to store.barstoolsports.com. We're putting like 10 plus new things in the store every day. So go check it out. We have a big guest today. So we have podcast Jesus himself, Kirk Minahan. I'm excited to have Kirk on. I love my friendship and relationship with Kirk. He's here. We're going to talk about 80s music. We talk about having a podcast. We talk about the ethos of his show. We talk a little bit about running. He and I are running the Boston Marathon together in 2021. So we talked about that, and that's about it. So here's over to Kirk.
You turned me on. You lit me up like the sweetest cup I showed you.
What's up?
Hello.
What's going on?
Not too much.
So Kirk, so here's what I want to do. You're the podcast Jesus, obviously. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite people. I want some advice on having a podcast. And then okay. You have like a Rain Man catalog of 80s music. So I want to talk 80s music with you. Does that sound good?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Tell me what we need to do better on this podcast.
First of all, I'm sure you reach out to about 70 people. But when I...
You're the only person I asked for advice.
Well, okay, fine. Thank you. I either way, I'm grateful. But I think right away, like, you've kind of hit what takes people a long time to figure out, which is kind of what it is. So many people start podcasts and it's like, oh, we're just going to bullshit, or we're going to talk like we talk when we're at the office. And like, no, it doesn't usually work that way. You have to find something that's a concentrated thing that's different. Now, differentiating is so important. You found that. I think I gave you a few notes at first.
Yeah.
But like, when I check in now, it seems like, you know, I think you were very caught up, and maybe I'm wrong. I think you're very caught up on like the sound of your voice and the fact that you may say words a lot as a crutch, but you are more aware of that than anybody who's listening, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you just don't worry about it. You do your 10 or 12 minutes. Like, I think the problem is, like, once you start getting away from, it's almost like on a sitcom when they run out of things to do and they have a baby and then the show is fucked.
Yeah. It's
like,
over.
Yeah. You just need to do what you do well. You know, don't bore us, get to the chorus, and then boom, get out. Like, I'll see yours pops up at the same time of mine, which I find, given my conspiratorial nature, I find that to be
interesting. I'm just trying to kill your podcast.
That's fine. No big deal. That's fine. I like good, healthy competition. But, if I ever start seeing, you know, 1 hour, 28 minutes, Eric Nardini starts weighing in on the, you know, I'm like, this is not good. But you're too smart. You're not going to do that.
Wait, so describe your podcast then like that. Like, tell me what the, how do you describe your point of view?
You know what? I will in a second, but I'd be curious when a random person asks you about it. How do you describe it?
Your show?
Yes.
I describe it as basically your world. So It's your unique perspective based on how you feel about Boston media, internet media, PC culture. I describe you as like, it's one part your daily life. It's like what you're ranting about right now. Two, mm-hmm. It's a dissection of the headlines and the hypocrisy of media. Three, it's like the weirdo goof troop around you. Like, like there's always a chick there. And then I think the last thing is like, if you love sports, period, but you have a bent towards Boston, you always have a point of view on Boston in particular.
Right. Yeah. Not so much sports, but yeah. You know, we had a writer on during this whole, the Patriots drafted this kicker who, you know, everyone said was a Nazi or whatever. So we had a guy on, a good writer on from Black Sports Online. He and I had a really good discussion about it. And then 20 minutes later, we take some phone calls and some guy is pretending to be Pamela Smart and Pamela Smart's husband, and they're calling in to win some, pretend to win some dozen roses on some radio show that we make fun of all the time. So it's like a joke within the joke within the joke, and it can choke you. It can absolutely be claustrophobic. So that's how I describe it, the most claustrophobic show in the history of the world. Now that is, sell that. That's a winner, right?
Good ad, actually. I love that. It's funny, but you would be bored, I think, if it weren't that complex.
I was that bored, Erica. I was that bored for, you know, you and I would, we didn't talk a lot, but, you know, I would talk to Dave a little bit. And I remember I ran into you at the old offices in New York. Yep. We took a picture. We talked for a minute.
I remember that.
And at that point, I was almost like, can you guys, like, figure, can I just come over here, please? Because I was so bored with what I was doing, and I wanted to do something else. And, you know, you guys afforded that for me. Have there been some contentious moments? Sure. Well, there will be in the future. Yeah, but it's also, but that's part of, I think that's part of the, like, I don't know. My attitude is, if you're not making the people who work for you or you work for a little uncomfortable from what I do, I'm probably not doing my, I'm not doing my job. Right.
That is a good point, which is, in your words, how do you tell the story of how you got here?
Well, you know, so I was at a radio station in Boston, WEEI, very successful, you know, on, ratings were really big. An activist came and sort of tore our show apart. That activist also came with me to Barstool, by the way. Mm-hmm. He joined me for the trip over there. And I would talk, Dave used to come on my show at EEI. And, you know, he liked me, I liked him, and he would check in once in a while, or I'd check in. And I always had a feeling that it was available for me. A couple of times, I don't even know how much Dave talked to you about this, but a couple of times, even like the year before, we were kind of close to, you know. So the way I got my contract at EEI was, I went to a Barnes & Noble and filmed a Periscope and rolled around on the ground and basically begged for my release and got out. And then I talked to Dave that night. I remember I was at my daughter Kate's softball practice watching her. I talked to Dave for a few minutes. Dave said, you can say whatever you want, do whatever you want. I talked to you, I think, briefly, and then we came up with the deal and we signed. The whole thing, once I got out, was maybe 24 hours tops, okay. I think.
It was a day, if that.
Yeah, so, and I love it. I mean, you know, people,
of course,
a lot of listeners don't want me to like where I work. Yeah, you know what I mean? When something happens, it's like a minor thing. They want to build into a bigger thing and this and that. Right now, I mean, I don't know. I don't have any complaints.
I don't have any complaints either.
Well, thank you.
Let's talk 80s, okay? So why are you an 80s aficionado? I love 80s music, but
sure.
I know I'm over my skis with you because when we did the Van Halen, the David Lee versus My Guy Sammy, you knew every year that everything had been announced. So why do you know so much about the 80s?
Because there's certain things in my life that I know about. Like I cannot even open the hood on a car. There's things I can't do. But, you know, when I grew up as a kid, I would get Sports Illustrated every week, and I would get Billboard magazine every week. And I would pour through those charts like a madman. I would write them down. I would memorize them. I would make my own charts in my brain. I would pretend I was a DJ counting down these things. There are, maybe they were buried with my parents, but there are tapes of me doing my own top 40 show somewhere. I hope never surface. I have a mind like if you ask me where I saw a certain movie in the 80s and 90s, I could tell you the theater I saw it in, and I could tell you who I saw it with. I don't know what I have no idea what that's about.
All right, so what's your favorite 80s song? Like, can you get it down to one or no? Because I couldn't.
Well, I mean, if you ask me what the best song, like, I'll remove Bruce because I'm such a big Springsteen fan. I think probably, you know, like, Purple Rain is pretty much as close to a great song as you're going to get. And Billie Jean, you know, I'm talking like hits. Those are really, really, really like great songs that still totally hold up. But, like, my favorite ones are, like, 10 or 12 different Bruce ones. But I'd say those two hold up really good.
Okay, so on the topic of Michael Jackson, like, are you a Thriller guy or a Bad Guy? Are you an album guy, first of all?
Yes. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, when Bruce Springsteen came in with Born in the USA, it kind of, like, changed everything for me, like, from a perspective of music. So I was huge into Thriller. I must have bought 3 or 4 Thriller cassettes, because I don't know if you remember or not, back then, sometimes the cassettes would get all screwed up and you have to fix them, and like the tape would be all messed up
in there because the tape machine ate it. Yeah.
Right. So I played those out. So by the time Bad, no. For me, Off the Wall and Thriller are the two
Kirk, did you used to record the radio? Like,
yes. Oh, yes.
Like, and you tried, like, when the DJ shut up and you just hit go because you thought that song, and then you'd rewind it and record over it. You never knew what song was going to play. That was the best. I love that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'd do hours at a time, and I would listen to it like just like doing the Walkman, like walking to school or whatever.
Totally.
Absolutely.
And then you had the like flat disc CD player. Did you have that version?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember the CD player coming and kind of blowing everything away like in high school, because it was still, I mean, I'm old enough where I lived in a town for the first 10 years of my life, Billerica, in Massachusetts. There was a Billerica mall that had a record store. My mom would give me a couple of dollars. they would have the Billboard chart there with the 45s. I would buy like two or three 45s. Yeah. I mean, that's that now is it's 83, 84, but yeah, that's how.
You remember that Tabard Records at the end of Newbury Street? That was like,
oh, of course.
It'd be like an annual trip for my family, and we would like get one trip to Boston. I'd have like the sum total of like $25.
There's actually a good documentary about that. Tom Hanks' son directed it. It's called All Things Must Pass, and it's about the history of Tower Records. It's actually a really good documentary.
All right, I'll check it out. All right. Yeah, so Michael Jackson, that's checked. 80s rock ballads. Where are you on that?
Well, we talked about this the other day. So, like, what are we talking? Are you talking like Cinderella, like Poison, Warrant? Are we talking like power ballads? Is that what we're going with? Or, I mean, like, you know, a song like Coming Home is pretty solid. Like, if I hear Coming Home still, like, even at 45, I'm like, yeah, this one still works for sure. Does Patience qualify?
Yeah.
That's
Heaven
89.
By Warrant, like.
Heaven by Warrant, yep. Heaven's a good one. I Remember You by Skid Row, for sure.
Sister Christian.
Sister Christian is one of the great ones. That almost kicked off that whole. But, like, are you talking about, like, this Total Eclipse of the Heart count?
No, that's not a rock ballad.
That's not. Why is that not a rock ballad?
There's not enough guitar in it.
Okay, yeah. You know what that song is supposed to be? So that is almost like the entire Meatloaf team on that song, except it's Bonnie Tyler. If you listen to it, it sounds like a total Meatloaf song. But yes, you're probably right. That probably doesn't qualify. Like I'll Be There For You? Is that there? I mean, I don't, I'm not a big fan of it, but.
That probably does count. I loved Carrie.
Yeah, that's a good one. Home Sweet Home. That's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then my next thing for you is, let's go to 80s love songs.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I mean,
a real cheesy one the other day. I totally disagreed with that song.
What? Almost Paradise?
Nope. It was from a movie soundtrack. Fuck. What song was it?
Well, Almost Paradise is from Footloose. That's from Footloose.
It was like Lady in Red.
Didn't say that. What the fuck are you? What the fuck are you talking about? Krista Berg?
It was
Lady in Red. I definitely.
No, it was. It was that bad.
I had my first real problem with Manager of the Barstool. I mean, that is fucking bullshit.
What the fuck are you talking about? It wasn't Lady in Red, but it was that bad. All right, I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna have you back to discuss it. But all right, hit me on the love song.
I am a love song guy. I am like a Springsteen, Petty, Mellencamp, Dylan, Seeger guy. So for me, like I said, if Almost Paradise is on, you want that super cheesy 80s song that I actually like? It's so cheesy. You ever heard that song, Friends and Lovers?
No, hold on.
If I sang it to you, you'd probably know it. I'm not singing it to you, but.
Oh, come on.
But it's by Carl Anderson and Gloria Loring.
Hold on, just hold.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. All right, last dance, girls and boys. Let's go. Get out there.
Oh, this was your last dance? Stairway to Heaven was always the last dance.
Stairway to Heaven was the last dance, and if you could put your hand, if you got your hands on a girl's ass at that, then it was
you were golden.
It's all you talked about for the weekend and all next week. But I'm going like super 80 cheese ball. That's what you asked for.
Phil Collins?
Yeah, well, Against All Odds is an awesome song.
Yeah, Against All Odds is a great song. REO's Can't Fight the Feeling.
REO's Peep Wagon was not for me. Like, I'll tell you, like, Foreigner, like, Waiting for a Girl Like You is a great song.
Okay, that's a good one. I agree.
Foreigner's an awesome, totally awesome band. Even Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me. I know it's kind of tired.
Love Tesla. I'm a big, big proponent.
That's a good song. That's a good song.
Every Breath You Take, Police.
John
a guy or no? Sounds like
no. No. Women singers for me as a kid were always like, it just didn't. I was a guy. I wanted to listen to, you know, guy music.
Because you don't like women?
That's ridiculous. I work, by the way, I work for a woman. I just so you know, you are a CEO at Barstool. I work for you.
Okay. All right. Then hit me on movie soundtracks.
Well, I mean, you know, I think there's a few like definitive ones. If you're talking strictly 80s movie soundtracks, I mean, like, you know, I mentioned it before, but I mean, Footloose had like 5 or 6 hits. And that was back when if a song came out, it would be on the charts for like 3 months. And then the next song came out 3 months. The Purple Rain soundtrack is awesome. I mean, it has Let's Go Crazy When Doves Cry. It has Purple Rain on it.
Yep.
And then you can go cheesy, soundtrack was huge. It was not for me. Dirty Dancing soundtrack, you probably liked. It was a monster.
Crushed it.
Yeah, I mean,
St. Elmo's monster. Fire.
St. Elmo's Fire is a great song. It's not that great a soundtrack, necessarily. You know, like The Big Chill was a huge soundtrack, but a bunch of older songs.
But that's like 70s. Yeah, Big Chill soundtrack. 60s. That's my best song, one of the best songs ever.
Yes. Yeah, that was a big, like, my parents loved that soundtrack because it was like Smokey Robinson and
totally stuff. That was a good soundtrack. I agree.
It was.
I think that's a definitive soundtrack. But wait, Top Gun. I thought Top Gun had a good soundtrack.
Top Gun, absolutely. Thank you, Top Gun. I mean, you have Danger Zone, you have Take My Breath Away, you have
that was legit. Top Gun. I'll even go with the Rocky IV soundtrack.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, look, if we're talking Rocky, I mean, I think the Rocky one as a whole, like 3 and 4 together. I mean, you have Eye of the Tiger. You have all the songs from Rocky IV. Yeah. That absolutely, Hearts of Fire. Yeah, no question.
You know what is a sneaky good soundtrack?
What's that?
Beverly Hills Cop.
That's pretty good. I'm not a big instrumental guy. I'll tell you a good soundtrack from the 80s is Eddie and the Cruisers. I don't even know if you even know that movie or not.
I don't know that movie.
You would know On the Dark Side if you heard On the Dark Side.
Oh, yeah, totally. Okay.
Yeah, that's from that movie. Tender Years is from that movie. It's like it's actually recorded by a Jersey band. It's like sort of a Bruce knockoff band. But that's there are a lot of people listening who will be like, yep, that's a good soundtrack.
Okay, then what's the Springsteen thing? Like, if you, like, what's your top three?
Well,
you had to, like, what's three in rotation right now?
Atlantic City, Adam Raised a Cane, and probably a song called Cautious Man. But if you called me up 7 minutes from now and asked me the top three, it would be three different songs, at least two different songs.
You love him that much.
I've seen him at concert 66 times. I mean, he's my guy.
He's aged well, don't you think? I think he's hotter now than he was when he was young.
I mean, it's hard for me, like, not so much that, but like, it's hard for me to know now that he's 70 years old. Like, it's hard for me to think that a few years from now, he won't be able to do like any of this stuff. For me, I've been listening to him since I'm 8 or 9 years old. Like, I have nothing. And I mean, I drive around with my daughter or whatever, and she plays it. I sound like my dad sounded, his dad sounded. I'm like, I can't connect to this music. And I hate, at least I can admit it, I guess, but I hate not being able to do that. It bothers me.
Music now is bad.
But our parents said that, and so did theirs.
Wait, so did you ever have like a Billy Joel phase? I hate Don Henley. That's my other thing. I hate Don
Henley. Don Henley, not John Henley.
Don Henley.
Yes, I thought you said John Henley. So Billy Joel and I have a weird relationship. It's actually pretty one-sided. I don't think he has much opinion about my podcast, but the problem with Billy Joel for me was like everyone in high school listened to him. We would drive around the car. I bet you we listened to that greatest hits thing 3 million times in high school. So I'm just worn out by him. He's fine. He's fine. He's not offensive. I'm not a huge fan. Are you?
I went through a massive Billy Joel phase. Yeah. Like, Songs from the Attic was like a big album,
right.
Very big album for me. Like, Summer Highland Falls, like, I don't know why I listened to it on repeat on like cassette. Like, that was big for me. I wouldn't like deep dive into his library now. I'm also a lyrics person. Are you a lyrics person or a?
Well, yeah, that's what makes Bruce for me so great. Yeah, for sure.
Like, the lyrics matter. So I'm
into him. Yeah, he's a big melody guy. But like, I know you like Jimmy Buffett, and I'm just kind of like, Jimmy Buffett. He's okay. He's all right.
I went through a big Buffett phase, mostly because you could just go get drunk and hang around all day.
Sure. Yeah, every summer.
Yeah, it's just a summer. But to go to 66, like, Bruce still has like strong meaning for you now. Like, I'm not going back to Jimmy Buffett now. I am going back to like Depeche Mode and
that's good.
Billy Joel. But Kirk, that's all I had. Oh, I have two for Kirk. One is, if you want to pick a song for this episode.
Do I want to pick a song for this episode?
Yep.
From the 80s. I'll give you one. Alive and Kicking by Simple Minds.
Okay, I love it. My last one is, what's your one fucking good thing today?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. Like, so professionally, we've Steve Robinson, the producer of my show, Mike Geary, and I have been working on something that we've worked really hard on that we're going to present, I think, hopefully, as its own standalone episode tomorrow that is intriguing. And I think our listeners, I hope, are going to eat it up. We've worked hard on it. So I feel good about it. I do feel good about that. You know me, I'm a born optimist. I feel very good about it.
All right. I can't wait. I'm going to listen.
All right. Yeah. We're running Boston Marathon together next year.
We're running the Boston Marathon. I'm running your 5K at the end of the month. I'm going to try to make 4 miles again today. So I'll text you if I do it.
Excellent.
Did you run today?
I ran this morning. Yes, I did. I ran early. I run before I tape. I run at like 6 o'clock. I like to get it out of the way.
Do you run the same route every time?
I don't. No. I don't. I mix it up. I get bored. Like, I don't, I can't. And if I start a run some days, even I'll be like, oh, you know what? I'll take this left. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. As long as the time's the same or the distance is the same.
How often do you change your sneakers?
Well, I mean, during this, not too much, but like every, say, 2 months or so, I'd say every 2 months or so.
You think you wear through them?
Yes, mentally, I think that. And you do feel like, actually feeling on the bottom. You feel like they're worn down. Like right now, mine are.
Yeah. I'm going to go have sneakers fitted for your non-YouTube channel.
Thank you. Yes, go do that.
Okay. Thank you, Kirk.
All right, Erica. Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
You follow me, and I follow you.
Big thanks to Kirk for coming on the show. You can follow Kirk at Kirkmin. Go to Twitter, tell us what you think about our 80s choices or lack thereof. If you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast. You can follow us at Token CEO, or you can follow me at EKA Nardini. We're on Twitter and Instagram. We just joined TikTok, so you can find us on TikTok, and you can find us on Facebook and LinkedIn. We actually created a Spotify playlist. It's at Token CEO, so you can find us on Spotify. And we will see you back here tomorrow. We have a special guest. We're going to be talking women's hockey. In my quest to buy a team, we're going to peel back the onion on that too. So we'll see you here tomorrow and have a good night. So come a storm inside.